Studies on the Time of the End, Study Number 11. Studies on the Time of the End, Study Number 11. This study is a part of a series that we've been doing, and this one is called The False Prophet. We're going to look at the false prophet in Revelation 13. The Bible's description of the false prophet, the two-horned beast, would be surprising enough if it were meant to apply to a long time ago. But since it is meant for our end time, our modern age, the description that's given in Revelation 13, verses 11 through 17, is evidently meant to amaze and alarm us. This creature that's described in Revelation 13, 11 through 17, is more dangerous than any preceding power, more dangerous because more cunningly deceptive. Keep that in mind. He is pictured as the most consummate impostor and deceiver in all human history. The leopard beast is described as blasphemous and cruel, but the false prophet is spoken of as slick and clever, with the ability to work amazing powers that appear to be actual miracles for the purpose of inducing everybody to worship the leopard beast. The prediction that he actually succeeds in this nefarious work and gets all but a few to make a living, breathing image of the leopard beast and induces all the earth dwellers to worship the first beast and its image. Thus, the deadly wound at this time is completely healed. This is why this upstart two-horned beast is called a false prophet. Starts off as innocent and harmless, becomes a false prophet, and then even becomes more worse than that, speaks as a dragon. All this is a religious activity. Only in a very secondary sense can it be regarded as political. But let me say this, politically and religiously, they become one. There's a union that takes place so that you can't tell one from the other. But for now, we're going to just say that. A prophet of any sort, whether it's a true prophet or whether it's a false prophet, is religious. That term applies to a religious idea, not a civil official, for openers. Why is that? Because its entire career is so effective in its deception and seduction. This creature is in reality one of the worst and most dangerous in all prophecy. Who is it that this false prophet is deceiving? Who he's deceiving is the last generation of mankind, supposedly the best educated, the most intelligent, the most sophisticated of all the human race. That it is the last generation is proved by the fact that this false prophet is described as being finally cast alive with its partner, the leopard beast, into the first lake of fire at the second coming of Christ that you find in Revelation 19, verse 20. Now, just think about that. This false prophet has to do with the last generation of mankind. Now, that last generation of mankind includes both the wicked and the righteous. Except the wicked are under the delusion of the false prophet slash speak like a dragon slash beast slash image to the beast. Whereas the righteous last generation of mankind is under the tutorage, under the guidance, under the umbrella, under the wing, under the protection of the Lamb of God. Revelation 14 verses 1 through 5. Several identification marks help us decide that This two-horned beast, the false prophet, must symbolize the democratic Protestantism of the Western world, most typically seen in the United States of America. This is where it started here first. This is where God launched this idea, this plan, this nation was here first, 1776. Don't let the devil confuse you about that. It was prophesied 2,000 years ago in a cave by John the Revelator. Number one, the time. The time. This two-horned beast is described as arising after the first career of the leopard beast was ended when? In 1798. That is, beginning at about the time when the first beast received its deadly wound. As previously explained, persecution had stopped about 25 years before 1798, and in a larger sense, it is loss of the power to persecute for heresy from this leopard beast. Keep that in mind. Not people that are being punished or persecuted for being a Christian. There's a great big difference here. This particular persecution from the first beast, the leopard beast, is done by an imposter of Christianity to persecute those for heresy. That's what was done during the Dark Ages. It was a Christian organization, Christian leadership, people that professed to be Christians, that were burning other Christians at the stake, torturing them, doing all kinds of despicable things to them for the crime of heresy. And so this power to persecute for heresy is what constitutes that death stroke when that power was no longer available to be used. There's where the death stroke hit. That's where the deadly wound took out. The power to persecute for heresy. Put that in your head, in your heart, and keep that there. Number two, the place. We talked about the time, 1798. That's the time zone. This country was started before that. About 25 years before 1798. What was happening about 25 years before 1798? Do the math. The Declaration of Independence was being discussed. 1776, okay? All these things are being orchestrated by heaven. Two, the place. The record is that this new beast, this lamb-like, this land beast with the lamb-like horns did not arise out of the sea as did the preceding symbols, but out of the earth. Revelation 13 verse 11 says there's a significance for that. All students of prophecy know that the origin from the sea means that the preceding world powers arose amid the thickly populated parts of the old world by war and conquest. That's what that means, the word sea. In contrast, we know that the American Republic arose in part of the world previously unoccupied by any important nation and grew into power by methods essentially different from those of any preceding nation. There was no nation like this one that started in this country, in North America. There was nothing like it in Europe at all. It was distinct. The territory of the leopard beast would include not only Western Europe, but also Mexico, South America. In the larger sense, the leopard beast would take in all the church and state countries wherever it found it. The two-horned beast must mean something different. This points to Protestantism in religion and America as the only nation fulfilling those conditions. Okay? And so this is a very important point for us to understand. So just again, the time was this two-armed beast came into attention was around the time of the end, 1798, whereas 25 years already, there was no persecution. The place, this would be what we call the New World, not in Europe and not in the countries that were a union of church and state or that the Catholic Church was in control of. And so this would be, the New World would be this country, the American Republic, arose in part of the world previously unoccupied by any important nation. So that's the place. And number three, outside the territory of the leopard beast. Where was the leopard beast? Where did it have its control? The territory of the leopard beast would include not only Western Europe, what we just mentioned, but Mexico, South America, because they took in all the church and state countries wherever it was found. Number four, its youthfulness. Its lamb-like feature would indicate that it was a young and gentle-looking power when first seen by the prophet. These four points, time, place, outside of the territory of the leopard beast, and his youthfulness, these four points positively identify this new world power. But they are made from the narrower national point of view. When we rise to the broader, more universal view, other marks of identification need to be considered. Okay, here's other pointers. Number one, the false prophet. This name that's now given to this new power indicates that this new power is primarily religious, not merely secular. Not just secular. This must mean Protestantism, for this is the only important religious force in the New World apart from Catholicism. But it must be an apostate, degenerate form of Protestantism, for it is a false prophet. Does it affect the secular view? Yes, it does. But let's first talk about its religious view. It proves its falseness by deceiving the people into making a living, breathing image of the first beast. What someone has called the Americanization of Christianity is a sufficient characterization. A strong overtone of Spiritism must also be included. So this false prophet, what do prophets do? They can foretell. They predict. They foresee. They teach. This is a false prophet. We'll get into more of that. Number two, it's a world leader. These are other dynamics about this new world power. A world leader. The prophecy makes it plain that this false prophet must be a genuine world leader, the outstanding religio-political power of the last days. Since ideas are stronger than civil or military might, the American dream about liberty and progress, plus its evolutionary view of philosophy and religion, has intoxicated and hypnotized the entire civilized world. The falseness of these utopian dreams makes the name of false prophet appropriate. Number three, two horns like a lamb. The author of The Great Controversy says that these correctly represent the civil and religious liberty which in actual practice as well as in theory were incorporated into the character of this country from its beginning. Because these principles are the secret of its, America's, power and prosperity. You'll find that last sentence quoted in The Great Controversy on page 441. But because of these two heavenly principles, we talked about this, the nation which they represent is unlike those presented under the preceding symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. You'll see that on page 439 of the book, The Great Controversy. Hence, because of this intrinsic difference between America in her rise and early career and the other nations represented by the preceding symbols, it follows that in her early days, America cannot possibly qualify as one of the series of the seven heads. Remember, these seven heads, this animal with these heads, are satanic in their opposition to God and to his work and his people. So early in the career of this country, it could not possibly be any one of these to qualify as a series of one of these heads, because it was not an opposition to God and to his work or to his people. Contrary. It supported God. It acknowledged God. This country glorified God and protected the people of faith. That's what its lamb-likeness is all about. And so these symbols, these preceding symbols cannot possibly qualify to represent America in her early days. For these seven heads represent nations that are under the control of Satan in his work of trying to run the world. Only in its second phase, only in America's second phase, when it moves from an innocent, harmless, lamb-like horns and moves to a false prophet, after it abandons these two guiding principles and then begins to speak as a dragon, does it become like the other heads in this animal, and thus one of the series of the seven heads. So it's not one of the seven heads initially, but it becomes one of them eventually. Is this good for us to know? It is. We're not home yet, folks. But though there are plenty of signs of apostasy all around us, the official change from the lamb-like horns to the dragon voice has not yet occurred, but it's on its way. It's still future, but we're on that path. Do you think, you know, they're scientists? You know, this, I'm just throwing this out there for you all to think about. We've got debates on both kinds of scientists, both kinds of physicians, both kinds of physicists about climate change and the coronavirus and epidemics and pandemics and vaccines and the health mission. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. But that's okay. We can have debates. We can have discussions. There can be disagreements. There can be, different views. And we can learn from each other and so on. And that's all good to have a healthy discussion and come to a consensus. But there's something wrong here. The people that are scientists that debunk the climate change hystericals, they're shut down. They're silenced. They're threatened. They're not allowed to speak in the public square or in the marketplace. They're put down. They're ridiculed and mocked. Same with the others that talk about, you know, the other scientists that say you don't have to wear a mask are actually harmful about wearing masks. And they're simple solutions to the coronavirus. They got medicine and natural remedies that can really give us a good outcome on these things. But they're not allowed to say that. And they're shut down and they're demonized and they're threatened. There's something wrong with that. Does that sound right to you? Is there anything draconian about that? There is. That's the path we're on. Okay, so we're talking about this, the full-blown dragon voice is still future. And boy, this is Satan's last chance to take the world by storm. And if he can rid the earth of God's people, he feels, even though Jesus did all that he did on the cross of Calvary, and it was an incredible victory, an incredible eternal triumph, something that we'll bask in forever and ever and never get to the bottom of it, and be thankful that we never get to the bottom of it, because there's always more to learn, more to bask in, and it'll be wonderful. We'll never say, it's like watching a good movie, you know, and I hate to bring that in, but sometimes you see a good movie and you like it and it's wonderful and you see it and it's not a bad movie. It's a love story perhaps, and it's about a young girl and she falls in love and all this and that, and then the prince marries her, and then you watch it again, and then you watch it again, and then you watch it 10 times, and then you watch it 30 times, and then you can't watch it anymore. Heaven will never be like that. Eternity will never, ever be like that. Because you'll always have fresh, new revelations. It doesn't dismiss the revelations of the past, but they're always unfolding. Won't that be wonderful just to be able to see that? You'll see the character of God and all of his beauty deeper, more profound, more amazing, more beautiful, more lovely than ever before. So we're on that path. The dragon idea, the dragon speaking like a dragon, Satan's last ditch effort. See, if he can get this world completely on his side and wipe out the people of God, he has frustrated the grace of God. God has nothing to work with here. How can probation close for the whole world if there's no people here to represent the God, the King of Heaven, and to give that the people here a chance? See, he's trying to crush this movie before it even starts. And so we're not there yet. That whole idea is still future. The problem is what Satan's plan is that probation will be closed when Satan finally does have full control. It's over with. Let him who is just be just still. Let him who is faithful be faithful still. Let him who is righteous be righteous still. Let him who is filthy be filthy still. The wicked are sealed and so are the righteous. And there's nothing Satan can do about the righteous. Praise the Lord. Now, we're not diving into all the fine details. You may have questions about that, and that's for another studies to ponder even deeper. But during the time of Paul, there was similarly a mystery of iniquity that was already working in Paul's day. So it began in Paul's day, this mystery of iniquity. Even though at first glance you would think, no, they're turning the world upside down. No, there was a mystery of iniquity going on, a counterfeit gospel. You read about it in the book of Galatians. Paul talks about it. It was already working in his day. Plenty of signs of apostasy were visible by the time of the Council of Nicaea. Still more were apparent when the capital was moved to Constantinople, and the dragon thus gave the bishops his seat and great authority, but the prophecy does not begin to date the career of the leper beast, number 5 of the 7 heads, until A.D. 538. Even though those things were all in motion at the time of Paul, it wasn't until 538 years later, the year 538 A.D., that the date of the beginning of this career of this leper beast begins. Likewise, neither does the two-horned beast begin to qualify as one of the 7 heads of the leopard beast until it begins to act like the other beasts in making open war against God and the people of God. Same way. Even though the mystery of iniquity already begun during the time of Paul, it wasn't until 538 that it was established to make war against God and the people of God. And that's the same idea here. Meantime, 200 years have elapsed since the end of time, the time of the beginning of this country, more than that. Inasmuch as the series of heads must follow one another with no interruption, number 6 must have been reigning since 1798, the number 6 head. The 5th head was the beast that was taken out. That was the papacy beast, right? Its persecution power. But the number 6th one must be reigning since 1798. That's the one that we're not paying attention to. This one, the number 6 one, that has been reigning since 1798 at the time of the end, the period of the deadly wound. Remember, the deadly wound is still in place. Why is that? Because the persecution for heresy is not upon us yet. But number 6 is reigning during the time of the deadly wound. And this number 6, as we have seen, must be the beast from the abyss, the French Revolution beast, which gave the death stroke to the number 5. And is presently ruling half the world with its doctrines and ideology, infiltrating and perverting all the rest. Communism, Marxism, progressive liberalism is a child of the beast from the bottomless pit. And we covered some of these things that this beast from the abyss did. It stole, hijacked the two-horned ideas from this country, from the United States, and tried to implement them. And we've read about that, we talked about that, but we're going to bring this all together, see. So this number 6 beast has been ruling and infiltrating with its ideology to nearly half the world. In the early days of the world, the Bible dwelt much on the replacement of one nation by another. We see that with the golden head and the silver and so on. But in the sight of heaven, But in the sight of heaven, the spread of ideas is much more important than the shift of national boundary lines. The spread of ideas. And since the work of God and its opposition have both become global in extent, the prophecies of the last days ignore national distinctions and deal with the spread of doctrines or ideologies. Hence, we should train ourselves to think of the entire world of our day as divided into just three groups. Here's the three groups. And today, a lot of people are talking about world government, world this, world that. This is biblical here. We should think of the world that is divided into three groups. Here they are. Number one, the dragon group. Number two, the leopard beast. Number three, the false prophet. Three groups. This threefold division of the world is repeatedly mentioned in the book of Revelation and in the spirit of prophecy. You can see this in Great Controversy, page 588. Such a threefold classification of the world during the time of the end must ignore nationalities and deal with doctrines, that's teachings, and ideas. On this basis, the dragon, here used as synonymous with the beast from the abyss, that's what the dragon is, would be larger and more inclusive than Marxian communism. The leopard beast would include more than the Roman Church, and the false prophet must be larger than the United States or even larger than apostate Protestantism. Greater than communism, greater than the Roman Church, and greater than the apostate Protestantism. Fundamentally, of course, we know that all three are merely puppets of the devil, and all of the seven heads are the human organizations through which the devil has worked at various periods of human history, but we are here considering the situation down near the close of time. Do you understand what we're talking about here? This is not, we're not living during the time of Daniel or Darius or Ezra or Nehemiah or any other time. Not even during the time of Christ or Paul. Not even during the time of John Bunyan. Not even, you know, we're living at the end of time. We are here considering the situation during the close of time after the two-horned beast has become the false prophet and has become the seventh in the series of heads. The sixth is the beast from the bottomless pit. The seventh is the false prophet. These United States. That is transformed and morphed into a false prophet speaking like a dragon. The prophecy deals chiefly with his cleverness, this false prophet, in deceiving the highly educated last generation of mankind. Since its two lamb-like horns are the secret of its power and prosperity, we are obliged to think of his power to deceive as somehow connected with these two horns, either by means of them or in spite of them. But we are led to ask in amazement, how can this be? In what possible way can these two kindly, tolerant, innocent, lamb-like principles of liberty be used to deceive the world into its everlasting ruin? It is easy to see why the new national example of America has become popular throughout the world. The hope of liberty has had a universal appeal, and the spectacular prosperity and success here seen have fired the hopes of uncounted millions across the oceans, east and west. That's why people flood through our borders all over the place. They fly from countries all over and make their way across the borders. Still happening now, even with the coronavirus. When the beast from the abyss invoked the slogan. See, that's what the devil does. He takes something from God and he tweaks it and makes it a lie. And the Sabbath is an easy no-brainer. The Sabbath is the seventh day. It tells us about God and the Creator. But what does Satan do? He takes that idea and makes it Sunday. That's what he did. That's what the beast from the bottomless pit, that's the dragon. That's the devil. It's a puppet of the devil. And what does he do? He invokes the slogan of civil and religious liberty to abolish the papacy and thus inflict a deadly wound. But when the devil did that, that's how stupid he is. If he was smarter, you'd think he wouldn't have done that. Why would he take his guy and take him out? But he overreached himself. The devil overreached himself. He did what we call as a oops. Oops. He didn't mean to go that far. But see, he forgot there's a God up there, a heavenly manager. Satan's not getting his way in everything that he thinks he is. He overreached himself. Why is that? For divine providence has so universally discredited bigotry and intolerance that this wound is still even unhealed today. For killing people. For heresy. That's not happened yet. We're on that path. People are gone after because they, won't perform a same-sex marriage or make a cake or things like that. But that's not, that's not being put to the stake yet. We're on the path, though. And that's because the wound is not healed yet. And that's how Satan overshot himself. And so divine providence has discredited bigotry and intolerance so that the wound is still unhealed. And those agencies that are symbolized by the Antichrist are still prevented from getting back their old power to oppress and destroy. And when this country changes with all the world still following, when the lamb-like horns change to the voice of the dragon and the American dream becomes a nightmare, what happened to Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver and the Mickey Mouse Club and the Disney World and all the happiest places on earth? That's what the 50s were like. People were more happier. Today, there's people walking around with masks on and they're depressed and they're freaked out and they're nervous and they're unsure about the future. They're trying to have a good time. The American dream is starting to become a nightmare. People want to get their life back, but they're afraid. They're scared. They can't relax totally. They can't go back to the football games and go to the beach. And they can't, they can't do a lot of things, have parades and get-togethers and go to the parks and see fireworks and all of this kind of stuff because we got a social distance and we can't get too close and in a restaurant and then wear a mask but take the mask and take, all of that. Do you think that's becoming the nightmare? Where's the American dream? And it's going to get more of a nightmare. The thing about nightmares, the regular nightmares, is that if you're having one, the good news is you can wake up and go, oh, whew, my glad that was just a dream. But this nightmare is no waking up from. Unless, of course, you're walking with God. You're walking with Jesus, and he's blessing you, and you're living the best day ever. You're learning about him and being flooded with the Holy Spirit, winning people to Christ, having fellowship that is so sweet, and you're praising God, and you feel his presence, and you feel the angels around you, and you're not depressed. You're praising the Lord. So the American dream becomes a nightmare. The fault will not be in these two principles of civil and religious liberty. The fault will be in fallen human nature. That's why it says at the end of Revelation 13, it's a number of a man. 666. When was man created? On the sixth day. What happened to that man? He became fallen. The fault will be seen in fallen human nature, which, when left to itself, has never in the entire history of the human race has been able to stand prosperity or liberty. It can't handle it. It just can't handle prosperity and liberty. You have to be a Christian. You have to be righteous and walk with God. The universe is flush with prosperity and liberty because they can handle it. We can't because we have fallen human natures. When every man's got something and they're happy with it, they got a house, a car, they got kids, a wife, they can go on vacation, they can go to the Yellowstone Park and spend a month there with the kids, take videos and show them again when the kids are getting older and they have kids and they remember going on those great vacations and everything. See? We can't handle that. Why is that? Because we got a demon and fallen human nature that wants power, that wants more, that wants to oppress, wants to take from you, and it just won't let this be. The fault lies in human nature, which, when left to itself, has never in the entire history of the race has been able to stand prosperity or liberty, but has always abused and spoiled the best gifts of God. The best gifts of God. Now, this is study number 11. There's more to say about the false prophet here. This is light that needs to be shared today, right now. And we're Adventist. And we have this light in our midst. We're not looking into it. We're years behind. What does that mean? That means we should be in heaven already. This whole crazy thing that's going on right now would not even be happening. And if we as Adventists would just repent and let the Lord have his way in our life with these messages, then whatever crazy that's down the road won't happen either. See? We'll save a whole bunch of people coming down the pike, a whole bunch of crazy insanity. Little did those brethren in the 1890s that had the opportunity of a whole world's history of a lifetime, of an entire planet, of the great controversy, to bring this whole thing to an end. All of this stuff with World War I, 1914, the pandemic of 1918, where people's lungs were filled with blood, and they were like bloody rags, and they were exploding and blowing up, and there was corpses laying all over the street. What a horrifying way to die. They couldn't make enough caskets. They ran out of nails and wood. Bodies were piled up like cords of wood. And it affected young people between 20 to 40 years of age, if I understand it correctly, because their immune systems were backfiring on them. It was horrifying. All of that could have been avoided. It did not have to happen. See, World War I, the 1918 plague, World War II, Hiroshima, the atomic bomb, Vietnam, the Korean War, Iraq, terrorism, people with no legs sitting in wheelchairs, on and on and on, people with cancer, all the crazy stuff going on right here, right now. God wants to stop it. He needs us to do that. Will we work? Let him have his way with us? There is a people that will. He says so. Here they are, Revelation 14, verse 12. Here they are. Here's the people that finally will let the Lamb of God have his way with them. God's good. He's a blessing. Look at what happened just when a country, a nation, took these two lamb-like principles, civil liberty and religious liberty, and look what happened. My goodness, what a blessing that turned out to be. Well, people can complain all they want because human nature is fallen and there's lots of problems. But because of those heavenly principles, there has been people that have had the best lives ever and have been blessed, and they have blessed others as well in spite of all of the fallenness. Well, just imagine, that comes from God. That's the Lamb. That's the blessings he's trying to give to us. And can you imagine living in a world, in a universe where there is no devil, where there is no death, where there is no sin, where there is none of this garbage, none of this horror, but instead there's peace and joy and happiness and love and people and beings and God and Jesus and friends. And my goodness. That's what God wants to do. With all of our faculties intact, that means the power of choice. It's not because we better or else, as one of my Calvinistic friends said, oh, we got to keep the people, you know, the wicked burning forever so that we keep the saved in line, because every now and then the Lord's got to show us to look at those people down there in hell just writhing in flames. That'll happen to you if you don't behave yourself. Baloney. That's satanic. No. We have given our freedom of choice. We have consented and we used it to say, amen. We want to be with God because we want to be with God. We chose to be with him because we could choose to be with him. Not because we have to or we better, because we want to. Because he deserves to be with. He's somebody that you want to be with. That's the whole point, see. So this is the end of number 11. We've got much more to say about the false prophet, and we will say more in the next study, because we want to keep these within a certain time frame so you don't get too overwhelmed and overfed and indigestion. And so praise the Lord. What do you say? Isn't this good stuff to have? We need to know this. It helps us to navigate where we're at, what's going on here. If it were possible, the devil will deceive the very elect. And a lot of people will be deceived. But God says, I'm not going to let that happen to you if you just let me have my way with you. And I will bless you. Praise his holy name. Amen.